7. Matthew chapter 7, I want to start here. We're going to read a couple of passages in reference to this message that was proclaimed in the kingdom, or would be. And the other one is Luke 6, so if you want to go ahead and get that, we'll be turning there as well. But a very quoted verse, many times misquoted, many times misused, we find in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1, where the Bible says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." How many times have you ever had somebody tell you, "Judge not, that you be not judged"? You shouldn't judge people. You shouldn't make judgment about people. Well, if you notice back up in the verse 33 of chapter 6, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, if you go over to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, the same subject is being addressed in Luke chapter 6, in verse 35, he says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." So you see a conditional type situation here as far as judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Of course, we can go back to Matthew 6. We won't turn back there. But you remember in the Lord's Prayer, He taught them that to pray in this manner, and He tells them, "Pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And as He goes down through there, He says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not them, He'll not forgive you." So there was this conditional type idea there of forgiveness, condemnation, judgment, and so forth. So if you look there in verse 37, He says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Now, there are multitudes of people that take these kind of passages, and they will tell people that they shouldn't judge other people and so forth, and use these verses in reference to that. Now, I want you to notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what the Apostle Paul says about judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 15, he says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So there we see a contrast and somewhat of a contradiction in terms, if you will, in the sense of judge not and you shall be not judged. On the other hand, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So how is it that we are to discern judgment? How is it we are to apply, if you will, judgment? And what is he talking about when he says he that is spiritual judgeth all things? Well, to judge something is to basically evaluate the evidence, evaluate something. For example, we have a system of justice in this country, and we have judges. And those judges are for the purpose of evaluating that which is brought before them and making a judgment. They will judge whether this person has been wronged or that person's been wronged. If somebody's suing one another, whatever, the judge, if it's not a jury trial, makes a decision. He has the power of judgment. Paul says, we that are spiritual ought to judge all things. Now, I think where many times people get confused is that to judge all things means to evaluate, to look at, to examine, if you will, but we have to always remember that it is not our place to bring about condemnation as a result of the judgment. And that's a big difference. You see, you can judge things and not condemn. So he that is spiritual, the Bible says, judgeth all things. And we that are saved, we that are Bible believers, we're admonished to judge all things. And the first thing that we should judge, obviously, would be ourselves. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." Now notice what he says. "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that ye are not, that we are not reprobates." Now, when Paul talks about examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, I believe there's a couple of things that he could be referencing there. He could be talking about salvation, but you remember Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have kept the faith." You see, Paul, about, I think it's 16 times in his epistles, uses that phrase, "the faith." And "the faith," in the context of where Paul uses that, has to do, I believe, with the body of truth that was delivered to him for the church, the body of Christ. So to be in the faith, obviously, could refer to being saved, but Paul is writing to people to, it would appear, these people are saved individuals. And so he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So number one, you need to examine yourself whether you are saved or not. And you need to examine that on the basis of the Word of God. You see, there's a lot of people that want to look at the lives of individuals and try to determine whether or not those people are saved. I find no value in that. The Lord knoweth them that are His. So why don't you just not worry about it? Why don't I not worry about it? Well, I should worry about it in the sense of preaching the truth to every person. But if a person tells me they're saved and yet doesn't live a life that meets up to what I think it should be, I have no right to judge them and say they're not saved. That's between them and the Lord. And by the way, I've never, and you've never, seen anybody get saved. Read something this past week about seeing some people get saved. Well, they might have saw them walk the aisle or get baptized or join the church. You never saw anybody get saved. You know why? Because it takes place within. It's what happens in the heart of man. So we should not judge people's salvation on the basis of the life that they live. Because as Vince so clearly pointed out in the Sunday school lesson this morning, we are walking around in a body of sinful flesh. Some people do a better job of controlling theirs than others. I don't do so well. And if you don't believe that, you can talk to my wife. She will verify it. Like Vince was talking, his wife says, "You're awfully grumpy today." It's not exactly the terminology Mary uses. But we all sin. Doesn't mean we're not saved. And we can't judge people on the basis of the life that they live, even the kind of language that they use or that kind of thing. That is for self. Self-examination. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And so that's the first. Next, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Another judgment that we should have is found in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." You see, there's some things we can look at in the Scriptures. There's some things that we can consider. And Paul says, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What is he talking about? Well, we were dead in sins. And the Bible says when we're saved, we are quickened. And we were quickened together with Christ. So we can judge that all men, if they're not trusting Christ, are dead in their trespasses and sins. And the only remedy for that is not to try to get them to live better, but to get them to see and understand the good news of the gospel, how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and explain to them how that by trusting in that and that alone, they can be saved. And I want to tell you, there is great damage done in religion today when a preacher stands up and implies that things that people do in their flesh is some kind of evidence of salvation. Because if they say it is an evidence of salvation, then it must be required for salvation. Think about that. I was told many years ago by my father, who I believe was a saved man. He said, we were talking about tithing. I was trying to show him whether under the law of tithing. We were under the perfect law of liberty to give as we deem necessary in our heart and so forth. And he said, well, I believe anybody that's saved would tithe. I said, well, not necessarily. He said, well, if they don't tithe, then they're not saved. Well, you see, that works real good to get the money in. I mean, think about it. You preach people if they're not tithing, they're not saved. Well, if they want to know they're saved, what are they going to start doing? Start tithing. And so it's a system of building blocks. And I mean, one thing is added after another. If you're not doing this, you're not saved. If you don't do this, you're not saved. If you don't attend church, you're not saved. On and on it goes. And it's all to put people under guilt. And our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. To make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. Make all men see that Christ died for our sins and was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And by simple faith and trust in Him, we can be saved and trust Him as our Savior. So He says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." Look over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 8, Paul says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now notice the reason. "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." You see there he says, my prayer for you is, number one, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Why? That we may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So we need to judge some things. There's some things we need to evaluate. There's some things we need to approve that are more excellent. Those that are not, we need to disapprove of. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Would somebody close those doors back there? Well, there's a car out there, and that windshield is putting that sun right in my eyes. And every time I look down at this page, all I see are blue spots. And I'm not going to last very long like that. I thought maybe it was something I drank, but I don't guess it is, just the sunshine. Thank you. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 13. "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Then there's some things that we need to judge. Look back in Romans chapter 2. "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." And the thing that we have to remember is that judgment must be made, if it's be made correctly, based on the Word of God. Not on our personal opinions, not on our likes or dislikes, but on the Word of God. Look there in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing." You see, many times people will judge people about not doing things, as like Paul talked about over there in Galatia. He said, "They constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." And he said, they don't themselves keep the law. Well, Paul says there in verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Down in verse 16, Paul says, there's going to be a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So the judgment of mankind is left to God. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, not all people. And so we look at things, we look at situations, we look at what the Bible says about these things, and we can judge whether they be right or wrong. I'm amazed how people in the political arena will justify whatever it is they want to justify. And they do so because of their prejudices and so forth toward one candidate. And it's equally, I'm not talking about just the presidential Right? I'm talking about in general. We judge things by the Word of God. I was debating with a man not long ago. He is a believer, a brother in Christ. And I asked him how he could support a person who supported abortion, the killing of babies. And he came back and said, well, how can you support somebody that does thus and so? And basically I had to say, well, you got me. Because come on, folks, that's the situation we're in. Well, I can look in the Scripture and see that abortion is wrong, but I can also look in the Scripture and see many other things that are wrong according to the Word of God. And we need to be spiritual in our judgment. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, and we judge him by the Word of God. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, many of you, most of y'all are familiar with the situation that was going on at Corinth. Vince referenced this morning. And in verse 1, it says, it is reported commonly there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and hath not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. So there was judgment going on about what was happening there. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out into the world. But now have I written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. And I would assume the not to eat there would probably refer back up to verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. But at any rate, verse 12 says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. In this particular instance, there was sin in the church. And when he says to deliver such a one to Satan, for destruction of the flesh, he's not talking that he would be immediately killed. It had to do with withdrawing the fellowship. And he says there in verse 13, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And I went over this last Sunday night. We've been going through 2 Corinthians, and Paul has a lot to say about this particular situation. And rather than go through all of that again, I just want you to understand that this gentleman, that or whoever it was there in 1 Corinthians 5, was restored to fellowship according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And Paul said they ought to forgive him. But Paul is saying, in effect, you've got to judge that, because there was that group there that he had affected by his behavior. So there is times when judgment is necessary. If you look back in Romans chapter 16, in Romans 16, in verse 17, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. And by the way, that word mark simply means to identify. Them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So we are to judge what is being taught on the basis of whether it matches up with the Word of God or not. I was asked one time about a particular individual, a particular preacher, and if I would have him preach in our church. And I said no. And they said, why not? I said, because I had heard the individual with my own two ears make the statement that the gospel of Christ, the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, was not enough information to get anybody saved. That they would have to know more than that. And I said, there's a lot of things that that we can not agree on and still fellowship around, but to me, the truth of the gospel and it being the power of God to salvation everyone that believes is something that you cannot compromise. And so, I believe what Paul is saying here, and probably in reference to what he's talking about, he's not talking about minor doctrinal differences. I mean, after all, the whole book is about justification by grace through faith, and we know that there were those that were trying to put people back under the law, and Paul is clear in that. As a matter of fact, if you look over in Titus, hold on here in Romans 16, look over in Titus, chapter 1. You see, you do need to judge. When you go and hear a preacher and listen to a preacher, you need to judge the words that you hear come forth out of the mouth. Are they according to the Word of God? Are they according to some tradition of man or some denominational doctrine? You need to judge those things. You need to evaluate them. After all, the Bible says that one day we're going to judge angels. We ought to judge those things. That's what Paul is talking about in Titus chapter 1, in verse 10. He said, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Well, no doubt that was basically the same crowd, in my mind, that Paul's talking about back in Romans chapter 16 when he says they are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Mark them, identify them, and avoid them. Don't be part of it. You see, the ecumenical movement that came about years ago was the idea of bringing all religions together. And it taught what they call the fatherhood of God and the unity of man. And it didn't really matter what you believed, as long as you believed in God and God the Father and so forth. Well, that's just nonsense, folks. Well, the Apostle Paul is clear that there are those that teach contrary to the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and the message of salvation by grace through faith. I was asked to go visit a man that's a Seventh-day Adventist. And me and another gentleman sat down with this man and two or three of his friends there. And he said, I really like the fact you call your church Grace Bible Church. And I said, you do? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because we believe that salvation is by grace through faith. I said, well, that's kind of a surprise to me. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I thought that you believed that you could lose your salvation. He said, oh, absolutely, you can. I said, then how can it be by grace? And so we got into a rather lengthy discussion that I knew was going to ensue. And every verse that he used was from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John about losing your salvation, having to endure to the end, and all this other kind of stuff. And finally, it got a little bit heated, as sometimes those kind of discussions do. And so when we got through, he said, well, brothers, I would like for us to join hands and pray. And I said, no, thank you. And he said, why not? I said, because, number one, you are not my brother. And he looked at me like I smacked him. And he said, well, that's not a very Christian thing to say. And I said, listen, according to the word of God, I am to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which was preached by the Apostle Paul, and avoid them. And I said, I will pray for you, and I will spend as much time as you would like, as long as we discuss the Bible and believe it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. But I said, we are not brothers, because I do not believe that you or either one of your friends here are in Christ. Well, you're judging me. I said, no, I'm judging the words that I have sit here and listen come out of your mouth. And based on that, if you do not believe that you are eternally sealed and secure, then you believe there's something you've got to do in order to be saved. And I said, I know for a fact that you believe that people that do not worship on Saturday are basically have the mark of the beast and are lost. And he said, well, we never did get into that. And I said, doesn't matter whether we did or not, I know it's what you believe. And we got up and left. You see, folks, there's some judgment that we need to exercise in doctrine, in matters of truth, and so forth. Notice over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. You see, for a brother in Christ, Paul says, we that are spiritual ought to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But there's a difference in dealing with people that are preaching false doctrine and want you to accept it and act as though there are no real differences. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice what Paul says there in verse 6. He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Well, what's Paul talking about? Well, there were those at Thessalonica that had decided that the Lord was going to return and they didn't need to hold a job or whatever, like the church at Jerusalem there. And so notice what Paul says. He says there in verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. For if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Well, then they were being called on to make a judgment. But that judgment was to be based on what Paul had delivered unto them. As he said, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Don't be partaker of their evil deeds. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, this is in reference to what we read back there in 1 Corinthians 5. He says there in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 2, 5, if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So there is that evaluation, there's that judgment that takes place that every believer should exercise, and all of our judgment should be based on the Word of God. Now, there's an admonition in Romans chapter 14 that we need to always remember in relation to this. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. In Romans 14, look in verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. You see, what Paul is saying, there's some things that people were involved in, particularly, a couple weeks in Bible study on Thursday night, I drew a chart and I showed how that the local churches that Paul had assembled were made up of those that came out of the synagogues, and they were made up of those that came out of the temples of Diana, idol worship. And he had a mixed group there. So there were differences in some doctrinal things that had nothing to do with salvation. And Paul says in relation to those things, look down there in verse 10, he says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." There are some things that people get involved in judging, that there is no need, absolutely no benefit whatsoever. And I probably should just let this lie, but I'll mention one that I find very prominent. And that's the thing about holidays and Christmas. There's that belief that some people, you know, we all know that Christmas is pagan in its nature. We know that Christ was probably born in September. But there are those who choose to celebrate Christmas and give gifts and put up a Christmas tree. There are those that choose not to do anything. And you know what? Neither group should judge or condemn the other. Most people that know me know where I stand on this. But there are those that will, you know, they'll make statements, and it's, you know, on the internet or emails or Facebook or whatever it is, about people that celebrate Christmas and how pagan they are and so forth. Well, you know, I have never found anybody yet that had a Christmas tree that knelt down to it and worshiped it. It's just a smokescreen. That's all it is. We know the origin of it. And so if you do not believe that you ought to celebrate and have a Christmas tree, then don't. Don't. But don't condemn your brother that does. And if you do have a Christmas tree and there are those that don't have it, don't condemn them, because they have every liberty not to celebrate, not to do anything about it. And so it goes with all of these different holidays. And people get, it always amazes me that people that call themselves grace believers get hung up on these little niches like that and want to make a big deal over it, when we have perfect liberty in Christ. One man esteemeth the day one way, another man esteemeth another way. Just let people live and let live. There's no benefit in that, no benefit in getting all up in the air about what people do or don't do about those kind of things. So don't celebrate birthdays. But I'll tell you this, if you, regardless of what your feelings are about Christmas, if you decide to give me a present, I'll take it. And I'll take it home and I'll put it under my Christmas tree, and I'll promise not to open it till December 25th. You see what I'm talking about, folks? We need to be spiritual in our judgment. There are some things we need to judge. There are some things we need to discern. There are some things we should never compromise over. But there's other things of this flesh. Like people say, well, I don't eat meat. Well, I don't care whether you don't eat meat or not. I care less what you eat. But don't tell me I shouldn't eat meat. Unless she's going to do it for health reasons. You see, the difference in health and spiritual. But I remember years ago, Mary and I was the president of the Chattanooga Hostel Club, a garden club here when I was years ago. And so we were having a fellow come in, a guest speaker, and I asked the lady that had hosted it before, I said, "What did you cook for Bob when he came into town?" She said, "Oh, we had big steaks." So I thought, well, I'll cook up some of my big old hamburgers and we'll have all the sides that go with it and everything. So we had a crowd over there that night. And so I'm just fixing to put the burgers on and Bob walks out there and he says, Steve, don't put one on for me. I don't eat meat. I said, "What?" I said, "Shirley told me that she fed you the biggest steak." He said, "Oh, it has nothing to do with religious stuff." He said, "I'm just trying to get healthy." And so we began to talk about that. And I was glad to hear him say it had nothing to do with religion. He understood all of that. And he says, "I almost hesitated to tell you because," he said, "I don't like to try to make people feel like they're doing something they shouldn't when I'm present." So he said, "I'll just eat the sides and we'll leave it at that." I appreciated that kind of attitude. See, folks, the point in all of this is he that is spiritual judgeth all things that are spiritual. There are many things that we want to bring into question about people. We want to judge them. You know, that's kind of become a catchphrase among people today is when they do something, they'll say, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me." Well, people do judge. Our very nature is to be judgmental. And not only to be judgmental, but be condemning toward people. Don't judge people. Don't judge people because many times you don't understand the circumstances of their life and the things that they're going through and the things that they're facing. You don't understand where they came from and what makes them behave as they behave or say the things they say and so forth. You see, we all come from wherever we came from and we have different backgrounds and we have different training and upbringing and so forth and we're not very much alike. And so we need to leave our judgment to those things which are spiritual and judge that which we hear coming forth out of the words of men that proclaim the are supposed to proclaim the Word of God or truth of God. And our judgment should always be according to the Word of God. Prove all things. Prove things that are more excellent. And try those things by the Word of God. And if it's not unscriptural, then don't try to condemn people and put them under some kind of bondage because what they're doing that maybe you don't do. Or they're not doing what you think they should do. We all, as members of the body of Christ, should remember that we're to speak the truth in love and not to condemn, not to judge, except for those things that are spiritual. And always it should be on the basis of the Word of God. But the one that I mentioned first is the most important of all. We should always evaluate self and ask ourselves. You see, so many times we get so wrapped up in judging others that we forget to judge ourselves and evaluate our life on the basis of the Word of God. Are we doing what this book says? Have we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Are we in the body of Christ? Are we sealed in the day of redemption? Was there ever a day when we received Christ as our Savior? Examine yourself. Are you walking according to the Word or according to the flesh? Examine yourself. There's much judgment that needs to be a part of the life of the individual. So don't ever let anybody tell you, judge not that you be not judged, because there is much judgment, and he that is spiritual should judge all things. Would you stand me for prayer?